B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roll with the changes in a long time, but I like this song.
This is a nice weather song. This is a little breezy, sunny, 55.
Maybe you just got the car washed, you're hanging out.
Oh.
Hit the drive-thru, pull over after you get a Diet Coke and just say, you know what?
Kind of smell the soap coming in through the vents.
Yes. I do that too. I fire up the air conditioning when I go through there. And I on my sunroof, I pull the sunroof back, but I don't open it. And my kid loves to just look up and look at a colored foam and soap.
You know what I do? I crack the back windows when we go through the air dryers at the end for the kids.
Nice.
Drives them crazy.
Does it?
I've blown out a couple of eardrums, but it's worth it. They get a kick out of it.
We used to live in Pittsburgh. There used to be this crappy one down by us. My dad always take it through and it had
blown out a couple of eardrums.
It looked like you were going through right underneath an octopus, and it was connected to a beer distributor. So you hit that, whoosh, 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 and then boom. Then you get a 30-pack. Two birds and one stone. Clean card.
Long ride home.
No, 2 miles from the house.
617-779-0985. It's the noontime hour. Hardy, you feeling
sure
better?
Is.
You feeling better, Hardy? I know you came in here today.
A little hot.
A little snippy.
Yeah, busy night, busy morning, you know.
He's
and
pissed
just,
about the Revs.
I was pissed about the Revs last night. I was.
What happened?
And they didn't have a single shot on goal.
So you're saying that the team from Montreal.
How many minutes did they play in one of those matches?
Okay. Did you hear what happened to the Montreal team?
All right, it's a 90-minute match, 2:45 half.
Well, time out. The team's got to get there to have a match.
90 minutes!
Do you understand?
Plus, they get the stoppage time, right?
Whoa.
Yes, it's more than 90 minutes, quite frankly. But yeah, so you want to set this up?
Go ahead. Yeah, the team, the Montreal team that they had to play in the match last night.
They landed at 2:08.
Their flight didn't take off the night before because it got canceled.
2:08 p.m. They landed in
It was delayed,
Bedford.
And they landed at, yes.
Yeah.
Landed 2:08.
Yeah, they're supposed to be in the night before.
Could they
canceled, have? Delayed this morning, got in, probably got down to Gillette at, 4 o'clock or
That's
something?
That's like the Texans staying in Waltham against their will.
Could they? Yeah, exactly.
And then showing up and kicking the Patriots' ass.
The anti-Texans. So could the Montreal team have left their goalie in the hotel? When they got there, and not tell them, just don't worry about coming in tonight.
Essentially, yes.
Why?
They didn't need to play with a goalie.
They did not have. They did not register a shot on goal. They took shots that were either blocked or sailed high or wide. We're talking refs. Couple of interesting cases. I believe Castillo had a shot. He was is down there in the box and he's left footed. Clyde Sims, who is a midfielder and a great guy.
We've talked to him about
everybody loves
coach, yeah.
Right? He's a good dude, right? We're watching the game and he sees this play develop and he's like, Castillo got down in the box. He had the ball on his left foot. He's left footed. It makes a difference, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're left foot or right foot, and whether or not you're, you know,
it's
you
like
expect
hockey, whether you're left shot or right shot, right?
Yeah,
you want the right
of,
shots on the right
but
side.
But these guys
left
are, you know, yeah, can do both. But he's got the ball right where he wants it, and an opportunity to take a shot. Instead, he looks for a pass, and Clyde's it. He's left footed. It was on his left foot. Like I don't know. So yeah, when we went to do the post game show last night, I was at a loss. I said to Clyde, "I'm like, I'm not being facetious. I really mean this, and I'll ask you on the air why." Why should I be compelled by this team right now? What just happened? They got only their second win of the season, albeit a lackluster 1-0 victory over the New York Red Bulls last Saturday night. But a win is a win. Three points at home. And you should see the way they jumped up in the standings this early on in the season. It makes a difference. You get 3 points, good. This is what you're supposed to do. Take care of home field. How do you back that up? You You back it up by going and pulling a virtual no-show in the first half, not registering a shot on goal, and allowing these guys who just flew in a few minutes ago to beat you 3-0 on your home field. And then I got after the fans, too, and a lot of people got pissed at me last night because fans started calling in and they're bitching. I said, and I just said to one of them, I'm like, by
what
the way,
were they bitching about?
Where were you tonight?
Yeah.
You know? Because
oh, how many people showed up?
Not many. And that's...
I disagree with you on this.
Okay, I know you do, and a lot of people do, but look, Beetle, you want to support the team. You say you love, you know, soccer and you love the sport and you want to support it. If you're ever going to come out and support this team and not be a bandwagon or a fair weather fan, this is the time to do it. They're coming off a win on Saturday night, right? They're coming off of only their second win of the season, I think. And what you do...
Two wins, one draw, six losses.
Right. You show up at the next game. Beautiful night last night in Foxborough. I mean, it was perfect to sit out there. You go out there and watch that. And everybody loves to complain about it. But a lot of these so-called supporters, trust me, most of them weren't there last night. And that was a night where you do show up. And if you think it doesn't make a difference, ask any guy who's ever played, especially in this league, what it's like playing to a 65,000 person stadium that is 90% empty. And the feeling that you get playing out there and how inspired you are. He said, Clyde said, well, I don't want to like speak off the record. He didn't speak ill of the team or anything like that, but he said, yes, it makes a difference. It even makes a difference when you're a visiting team and you go to places where they pack and everybody shows up. Not every team is doing great, but the energy in those buildings is so much so that it elevates everyone's game. It didn't seem to bother Montreal last night, but what do they know? They were, you know, dealing on very little sleep, and they had just flown in a few minutes ago. They're all spun.
I think you're being a little hypocritical with your first part, which is right. Why should I care? Why should I invest? And then also saying, where are you? Because if your team sucks to that point, you have a right to not show up. And you know what I go back to? The Bruins. The Bruins fans put pressure on their team when they stop going to the games. So if you want to put pressure on your team and on your franchise by not showing up, that's how you do it. You say, I'm going to keep my money in my wallet until you put a product on the field that's worth me showing up for.
But they showed you something just on Saturday night. They showed you something. It's early on in the season, Beetle. Now, if you've just given up.
Come on, the team sucks.
If you've given up on them entirely, that's your business. But don't tell me you're still in on them for this year and you think they can do something. They put up a win on Saturday and you don't want to show up for that game. It's raining, blah, blah, blah. Okay, come on Wednesday night. Come on Wednesday night. It's not difficult to get in. You can get in, and they don't show up for that one either. So, look, I'm going to criticize anything and everything.
How do you not register a shot on goal? I don't even understand that.
I've never
physically
heard of that.
Possible.
Have you ever heard of that?
What? Your kids play soccer?
In a soccer game?
Have you ever, like, watched
not
a soccer
game? Not a
single
shot?
I mean, there were shots in the direction of the goal.
I'm not a soccer guy. Zoe's not a soccer guy. Right. I've never even heard of that.
Essentially, that the keeper...
I don't physically understand.
That the keeper has to handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have good shots that, like, you know, ring the pipe in hockey, right?
But it doesn't
count as a save. That's what we're talking
but
about.
But I would find it impossible for a hockey game shot. To be played where a shot doesn't actually register on goal.
Like, yeah, that's a big thing.
I know it's not the same sport. I'm not comparing the sports.
I'm just saying
that I understand the concept of what constitutes a shot on goal.
And let me just head off one little bit of criticism that I could see coming from a couple of different places. Okay, just you know what I'm talking about. I could see maybe somebody getting a little upset with our, you know, version of events here. Well, the Revolution want to be treated like one of the major teams in town.
Wait, we don't have a right to talk about the Revs. We have the coach every single week.
I'm saying for supporters of the team, whatever level of support you're getting from the team, you want them treated like other teams in town. This is exactly the way we would be talking about the Patriots, the Bruins, the Celtics, or the Red Sox. You want it?
That's why we don't talk about them often. There's much better teams to talk about.
You want to get equal treatment? This is the treatment that any team would get after they put up a performance like last night.
That's the problem, too, because the way the Red Sox come out of the gate, you know, and hey, they're flat, and it's not what you expected, and it's the complete opposite of last year. But then you look at the product and the payroll, and you know that, okay, there is talent there. They are going to bounce back. They're slowly scratching their way back, but they will get back at some point. I don't know if you could look at what the Revs are. We're sitting here waiting, and we ask Coach Aitken every week, you get that one guy signed yet? You get that space for him? You get him in? Did you get? No. Well, it's coming. It's coming. We're waiting. You watch the spacing of soccer and how these guys run.
Speaking of which, we got the coach later this hour. We'll talk to Brad Friedel. Should be a good day to talk to him.
You didn't register one shot on goal.
But I promise we'll get back to what you've got on the draft and the Bruins next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Four-man wall.
I mean, you can see Lovett's taking it with his left foot.
And it will be Lovett's curling it. Cropper spills it, and it's touched home. A goalkeeping error gifts Montreal the go-ahead goal. And Cody Cropper looks disgusted. And that's a bad moment for Brad Friedel and his men.
How's that
to go ahead goal? What do you call that? Nil-nil?
Yeah, here's a lot of what
like
we saw
nil?
Last night, too. After the defensive breakdowns, a lot of standing there with the palms up like this.
Like, I don't know what happened.
What do you let me do?
I thought you were going to not let him kick the ball in the net.
I thought you
were
bringing the match.
I thought you were going to get in the way of that cross that came in completely unobstructed and allowed the I don't know.
David is in the car on the other team that plays in Foxborough, the Patriots. Hi,
hey,
David.
Hey, hi, Dave.
Hi. There's a reason why I think the Patriots are going to focus on the here and now. There's actually a couple of reasons. For one thing, by the way, Bill's intention is to coach until he can hand it over to his son. Whether he's allowed to do that is a different story. That's what he's going to do. The second thing is Brady hasn't signed an extension because he will finish out this year. But then he will never sign another contract. And I don't think the Patriots are going to pay him $130 million to play the next 4 years for them. So he's probably going elsewhere. Here's why you need to focus on the here and now. What people like Naz don't understand is you're never going to see this again. Since Bill mentioned Brady's contract and age status, they've gone to four Super Bowls, winning three. And the only reason they didn't get to a fifth Super Bowl is because the coach mismanaged the end of the regular season. Okay? Your best bet to find a replacement might be Matt Ryan. What is that? 9 wins, 10 wins, maybe making a wild card, maybe making a random Super Bowl? Tom Brady has accomplished more in the last 5 years than any other quarterback recently. And he alone has outdone the whole San Francisco 49er dynasty and has blown out of the water the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers back-to-back. So here's the thing. Get Super Bowls while they're there. You have Tom Brady.
Right.
Everyone else is looking for him.
I'm with you.
Why don't we understand he already got him?
So,
I don't get it.
So, David, you said he won't sign another contract. Does that mean you think this is his last year or no?
This is his last year. He'll never sign another deal because...
What about a franchise tag? You open to that?
Well, wait a second. Brady will have to play under the franchise tag. Bill doesn't want to pay $30 million to a quarterback. And Bill wants to win without him.
Or if you have a winner.
Wants to win without him.
I don't think Bill would have any problem paying a quarterback if he thinks that guy's the winner. If this guy can win and get us there and be a contender, you have to pay 27 or more per year. That's the going rate.
Bill is not paying Tom Brady.
Do you know how many guys that are making over $25 million a year?
No, but David, you're leaving out one key fact here that he's got a boss too. And the boss might say,
I think Brady's going to go to Kraft and say, listen, Bill wants to win without me. He wants to turn the team over to his kid. I don't want to do this anymore. I've done this for 20 years. I don't want to play for this
Maybe.
Guy. I want to have receivers. I want to have weapons like Manning always had.
Okay, I won't tell you you're wrong. That might happen. You know, who knows? I can't tell you what Tom Brady thinks or what he's going to do. But I can also tell you that conversation might be, hey, are you going to pay me or not? And they say, yeah, we're going to pay you. Here's the contract. Here's the money. Coach be damned. We cut the checks. We decide who gets paid.
Bottom right corner.
Right.
That point's been stressed before.
But I don't think David's wrong to say that the head coach of the team doesn't love the idea of paying quarterbacks in their 40s $30 million a year.
No normal one would.
Right.
Because it goes against everything that you believe in. Brady's defined it. This is a rogue individual. Brett Favre tried it. He had one good year late in his career that way. One. And that was in Minnesota.
And if Bill thinks that showdown could be coming.
I think
next
that showdown.
Next offseason? Why would he not try and draft a quarterback between now and tomorrow night?
I don't know. I just think there's some weird thing where that showdown happened with Garoppolo. And that drama was created. And I think they buried it and they're past it. And I'm with the caller there. They're in it to win it now. It's the Brady window. Give me more of what it is now. Give me more of the current. And if that requires drafting a left tackle and a defensive pass rusher, then you do that. Or making a draft day trade for another tight end or better receiver, then you do that.
Scott is in New Hampshire. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Love the show, guys.
Thanks.
Great job. Hey, real quick.
Hey.
I agree with you that I think this is the year the Patriots might actually trade up. Who do you think they're going to target, and how high will they go? Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, what would they trade up for in your minds, Zoe?
One of the top two offensive tackles. Or a guy like Gary, the Gary kid from Michigan, who they say may drop into the 20s.
So you don't think that they would go up for a tight end?
I think the two best tight ends will be gone in the top 20s. Top 20.
What if one of them's there, though?
It'd have to be the one they want. If they have them ranked 1-2.
Okay, what if the one they want is there? And is the defensive lineman there? Which position are they taking? One of each.
Defensive lineman. That's what they do. Because that's one thing that you know, Beetle, you went through the names and you listed them, the successful ones that they've brought in. Corners, tackles, defensive anchors. Whether it's a nose tackle, a tackle, or an edge guy. That's what it is. Seymour, Wilfork, Look what Chandler Jones is making now. Look what Hightower's making. Look what Mayo made at the end. Those were all anchors, defensive anchors. McCourty. Guys switch positions. Second team all pros a rookie. It's not going to be a running back. It's not going to be a receiver. Yeah, I just hope Hockenson doesn't go in the top 10 because I think that makes it interesting that if he starts to fall, you know.
Mark is in Medford. He's got a thought on the Bruins.
Oh.
What's up, Mark?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up? So during the Toronto season, Toronto series, well, we all been saying that if the Bruins don't get by the Maple Leafs, this whole season would be a big disappointment. Agreed?
Yeah.
Now,
last night, the Washington Capitals get eliminated,
yep.
Which I believe is the final door
yep.
for the Bruins season to open to get them to the finals.
100%.
If not win the whole damn thing. Now, with that being said, now, does that change the mindset of everybody? Now, if the Bruins don't make it to the final or win it, will the season be a big disappointment, seeing that all the roadblocks are gone?
Yeah.
I think it's an unrealistic thing to put on them.
I don't know if I'm going to be disappointed. I think it, more than anything, explains me. I didn't understand the roadblocks. Because, honestly, would you be surprised if out of the four teams left, the Islanders end up going to the Cup final?
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you've already seen between the Capitals and the Flames and the Lightning, these teams get eliminated. I'm not sure I understood the landscape of the league at all heading into this postseason.
I think they've got to get through this round, though.
Yeah.
Columbus, if you had told us a month ago,
what if this is the best goaltender?
You're going to luck out and you're going to get Columbus in round two.
What would we say?
You must beat Columbus.
What if you're facing the best goaltender left? Out of any of the playoff series.
I think you must beat Columbus, and then after that, everything else is gravy.
That's the saddest thing about that sport, is as good as Toronto looked on paper.
Would it be, though, Beetle?
As good as they skated.
You get past Columbus and lose to the Islanders in the Eastern Conference Final?
I don't know. I watched some of that Islanders series in the first round. They played well.
They beat the Penguins.
I'm sorry. I just can't do it. You don't have the Capitals. You don't have Pittsburgh. You don't have the Lightning. Toronto's gone.
Or hell, lose to Carolina? Do you want to lose to Carolina?
It's there for you. It's there for you. Now it's now or never, really. And we keep talking about the Bergeron, Krejci, you know, Rask, Chara window of, you know, your guys that have been around, those hardcore veterans. What's that window? Is it 3 years? Hell no. Your time's now.
I just can't envision a scenario in which they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and they end up losing, and we sit there and say, oh, that wasn't a good year. That was disappointing.
Well, I think it's how you lose.
I just can't. I can't envision that being the case.
I mean, what are they saying? What are they saying in down in Tampa? What are they saying in Washington? I don't know.
Disappointing year.
I would say Tampa's devastating. They put out a damn tweet from their Twitter account.
That was
we don't know what
job
to say.
That
was embarrassing.
Disappointing.
Right.
They didn't go down in seven games. But they got swept.
But that's the thing. If the Bruins lose in seven games, I don't think we'll be sitting here saying it's an utter collapse.
You won't
choke.
Be saying it was a disappointing year for the Bruins if they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. You're going to say that? Oh, it's a disappointing year for the Bruins.
If they get swept.
Really?
If they get swept, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Based on who you beat.
You might say that you didn't enjoy how the series went, but you think the year on the whole was disappointing.
Because I think you've got to readjust as you go.
I think it's foolish.
We can't sit here and say, okay, if you asked me in February, would you take this?
I think it's foolish.
Well,
I think you and Mark, you guys can sit there and say the whole year sucked because of because they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. Fine. You can go ahead. You have your right to say whatever you want.
The Philadelphia Eagles beat you in the Super Bowl. Do you think it felt better? Oh, you know what? They made it to the Super Bowl.
Did that mean the whole year sucked?
You got your balls kicked in.
Year sucked? That wasn't a bad, disappointing year.
It makes you want to never remember
disappointing
that year.
Game, disappointing outcome.
They don't even look at the Super Bowl logo down there when you lose. It's just like, that's the way it is. Like, what is it? Your time's now. It's now.
Okay, I also wouldn't compare the Patriots, who have six titles in their current run, to the Bruins.
I'm not comparing them to the Bruins.
Or really to any other professional franchise.
But I think it's who you get beat by and how you lose. That's part of it.
Artie has headlines. We got more of your calls coming up.
I don't think your feelings are foolish. I don't think you're...
Are you going to agree with them?
I don't think your feelings should be marginalized by your co-host.
You're foolish,
is
too.
What I'm saying.
You're foolish, too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Busy Bone from Bone Thugs from Columbus.
More trash.
I wish you had gone with Crossroads instead of this one.
More trash.
I was debating.
This trash.
Yeah, Crossroads is a better song. If you could just switch that, if you don't mind. Thank you.
Oh. I'll suck, man.
What you gonna do?
Gotta take my horse, gonna ride it down the cowboy name.
What's that? You go, there we go.
Oh, I like this song.
What you gonna do? When it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you.
Say what? Sneaky good city.
When judgment comes for you. Is this gonna go for you? Is this something Charlie? Little boob guy's got him. And I'm gonna miss everybody.
Get this on. Hit the CVS,
you know,
get a big tub of Vaseline.
I think this may have been referenced at the
Corn Edge.
At the end of
the Wendy's.
This was for
get
Easy
a Wendy's.
E.
Hit some, yeah.
This song. I think this was mentioned at the end of the movie in the Dr. Dre movie.
Definitely,
yes.
Wasn't this in the end?
This song was mentioned, yes.
Yeah, mentioned at the end. Hmm. Yeah.
Tell you what, Wendy's, man. That Junior Cheeseburger Deluxe. Whew. Small chili. Nice thing about Wendy's fries.
Does Wendy still do the chili?
Oh, yes.
That's the whole thing there?
Oh, it's so good.
What do with the leftover hamburgers that they don't sell?
Is that really what happens? Is that really how they make it?
I think that's why they started making the chili. They get to...
See, Warwick,
before it goes bad, they use the chili.
It's not Warwick.
No?
I mean, that may have been how it started, but I doubt that's how it's made now. They don't actually make anything in those stores.
They have the...
It's all in, like, bags that they dump into heaters now.
Wendy's has the... Their fries used to taste like Band-Aids.
I'm but sorry?
Their fries used to have like a Band-Aid.
What does a Band-Aid taste like, may I ask?
I don't know. Like if your Band-Aid gets wet and they taste it, I don't know. But they have like the boardwalk cut fries now. Like fresh cut fries. They have really good fries now. McDonald's, sneaky best soda, though. at the perfect carbonation.
I don't think it's very sneaky at all. I think it's actually well known as being some of the best fountain soda out there.
Burger King's is like too syrupy, like sweet, not enough carbonation. Wendy's is almost spot on. McDonald's is.
I think it has nothing to do with the carbonation either. It has to do with the syrup ratio.
Mm. It's good.
Anyway, back to the calls if you don't mind. 617-779-0985. Got a couple Revs calls on the board. Couple here. Cam is in Stoughton. Cam.
Hey, guys. I know Friedel's not on yet, but just wanted to ask a question through you maybe to ask him. I just wanted to get his sense of what his idea is of the frustration level of fans. I doubt he has social media, but just looking at the any Revs hashtag, it's all negative for the most part, including myself in there. Just the lack of passion that this team has right now on the field is really upsetting for fans, including myself. My family's had season tickets since 1995, really, before the team even kicked off. My dad bought them at a Pats Bills game on Monday Football. We've had tickets for that long, and it's the point now we're at 24 years, and we're about to cancel. And I know a few other fans are also doing that too, so I would love to know what Brad's
You actually go on a regular basis and have for
since
years.
The very beginning.
Wow. Regular basis. I was like 4 months old when my dad bought them, but I've been going to games since I was three. So I haven't been going since the game, but my dad has. He's had the season tickets since the beginning. Seen a lot of great times, seen a lot of awful times, including the last 3 years. And it's just to the point where Brad Friedel in this front office is so frustrating that they preach accountability and there just hasn't been any. So I would love to get Brad's thoughts on that. I was also really disappointed last night. A bunch of players just left the field without even showing some love and support to the fourth, that staying 90 minutes for a zero-shot game. So love to know his thoughts on that. I know a few guys like Andrew Farrell is an awesome guy.
I haven't gone, but what are they supposed to do at the end of the game?
No, just like soccer culture. Like you give your fans a little like, hey, thanks for coming kind of thing. Like you go up to the fourth, give a little applause.
So it's like the hockey guys that raise the sticks.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. And I mean, a few players, like as they were leaving, they didn't go to the fourth. They were giving some high fives to the fans. I saw a few people like giving some autographs, but like, just go show support to those fans. This thing for 90 minutes for you to do absolutely nothing all game, nothing exciting all game.
All right, Cam. We got it. Cam's been there 24 years. Family, 24 years.
Okay.
Ready to bail.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's loyalty there. I mean, going since he was three. Now he's calling our show. Now he's saying he's not going to go. He's gone more than me.
He's gone more than me.
They're 5 minutes away.
Brendan in Boston on the Bruins. Brendan.
How's it going, guys?
Hi.
I just want to know your thoughts on Columbus. I feel like they're the toughest matchup that we have, and I feel like if we beat them, we'll end up going to the Cup, or if they beat us, they go to the Cup.
Scary thing against them, and based on, you know, Beto went through some of the size, two guys at 6'4", a bunch of them at 6'3". You know, they're physical. Yeah. If they beat you up and you still advance, but you're nicked up, that could hurt you next round. Yeah.
That is true. I was thinking, what do you think about McQuaid? Is he going to give him an edge since he's been with us for quite some time and now he got traded from the Rangers to them?
He's not going to. I mean, I just think he may be less leery to want to, you know, drop him and say be a little more physical with maybe some of his friends, but I think you still got to go out there and play your game. He's not going to tell you anything.
He's unavailable.
There's no institutional knowledge.
McQuaid. It's hurt.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Head injury.
Didn't travel to Boston.
Don't have to worry about him. At least not yet. Doug in the car. Doug.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Doug the Thug. What up?
Not much. I think we're overlooking this Eastern Conference here. The Islanders are a pretty good team. If we actually watch some hockey games, that'd be great. The Canes just beat the defending champs in Game 7. And the Blue Jackets just swept Tampa Bay. And we're all acting like we're going to walk this Stanley Cup.
I'm confused.
So you don't obviously think that's going to happen. You think they've got difficult series ahead of them.
It's a lot harder than we think.
Do you think that the teams that got eliminated were a little more overrated than what they should have been?
Exactly. Thank
you,
Joe.
Okay.
Jesus.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, wow.
I'm glad Doug hung on that long to tell me that the
overrated the team
the teams that were more highly ranked and favored in their series up against who they were against. And the bad matchups for the Bruins that actually got eliminated, where we probably wouldn't pick the Bruins against the Lightning or the Capitals. It's telling me that we had this thing ass backwards.
Very bitchy this hour. So very much.
We all had this ass backwards.
Oh, boy.
Overrated.
We apologize for our Bruins talk.
Wow. one's been
overrated.
Very
the Lightning,
bitchy.
The team that won more games than anybody this season,
the best team in the National Hockey League this year.
So you big dumb dumb.
I'm so stupid.
Yes, thank
that
you.
That Stamkos guy had me fooled, boy.
Duh. Thank you. Finally,
idiot. Yeah,
Crosby and Malkin can never get it cranked up.
Ever since Easy Lover played, it's been a 45-minute bitch fest.
Really, has. Jesus. Let's continue it next.
You know what? Screw you, Doug.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll hear from Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy coming up momentarily. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline on Zolak and Bertrand. Welcome in the head coach of the New England Revolution. It's Brad Friedel with us. Hi, Coach.
Afternoon.
You don't sound too... we've done some rev stock here today, and some disgruntled fans, some people who were down there last night to witness it. Is that a tough one for you as it was for them?
Yeah, I would assume harder, just as hard. And I know it's one of those performances that I and my staff would have to apologize to the fans for, the ones that did come down. We were second to everything in the first half. I'm not going to sit here and blame the players. I know how hard my staff works. I will take all the blame on this myself. We have got to get the players a lot more motivated than what we did last night, because it really isn't acceptable.
You've talked about motivation not only last night, not only just now, but throughout the course of this season. Are your players motivated? Do you feel that they are? Do you feel they're getting there or will get there?
Yeah, what we see every day in training, yes. And then we have performances, second half Columbus, very good. Second half Cincinnati, a little bit better. The game at Dallas, good. The game at, you know, as far as effort's concerned, away at Columbus, good. Toronto, good. And New York Red Bull, I really thought we turned a corner on that, because that game was not about the quality of soccer. It was about endeavor and effort with the way that New York Red Bulls played. And I really did think that we had turned a corner coming into this game. And when you watch, I've watched the game many times since, it was getting outworked. It really was. And that can only come down onto myself.
Coach, I want to ask you like one game-specific question from last night. In a game where you didn't have any shots on goal that the Montreal keeper had to handle, Castillo was pretty much alone on one. It looked like he had a one-on-one, and he neglected to take the shot. It looked like he was looking for a pass instead. Did you talk to him about that? Did he have an explanation for his decision there?
We train all the time with almost every exercise we do with finishing. Where it ends with finishing, and players, when they get in the attacking third, that is where they have to allow their creativity to take over and their confidence to take over. Edgar is a very experienced player, and it didn't need me to tell him that he knows that he should have pulled the trigger on the play. In saying that, you hit 1 point to have zero shots on goal in a game at home. You know, I don't think any of the fans have to think that we're happy with that, that I'm happy with that, that the players are happy with that. The only way out of it is to work ourselves out of it. But I'll use the term unacceptable. It's not acceptable to, and I don't think it's acceptable to have zero shots on target in any game, whether it's home or away.
Is that first time in your career, whether playing or coaching, you've ever experienced that type of defensive shutdown?
I mean, they were a tough team to break down, don't get me wrong, and they've been doing this. You know, after they conceded seven against Sporting Kansas City, they had three straight clean sheets, and then they went and played Philadelphia. Philadelphia unlocked them, and they got another clean sheet. They're not the easiest team to break down. especially when they play without Piatti in the team. They're a lot less expansive, but it's up there. It happens every now and again. Okay. I've played in games as well where that's happened without a doubt. But that is it's not the norm, and it's not something that that we want to see again while we're here.
The first primary transfer window closes on May 7th. Do you think you need to add something to give your offense a boost?
We're working around the clock to make that happen. So we'll have to wait and see. The deals for the players that we're trying to bring in are not the easy ones because the players are out of contract in the summer. And a lot of the European clubs are reluctant to release their players at this time of the year until the secondary window. So we're working around the clock to try to make it happen.
Yeah, I've experienced really, really bad losses where a coach will come in and he'll throw a Gatorade cooler, he'll break a blackboard or something. And like, what is your normal reaction after this? I know your accountability is there saying, hey, this falls on me. But if you're saying, you know, we're doing everything we have to do during practice and drills, at some point it does fall on the players too. You know, like if you're not executing during the games, I know you said, hey, it's on us, but.
Oh, it is on me. It's me too, and the staff. It's up to us to see. And each player is different. Some players you have to throw the teacup at, and other players you have to put an arm around. I've lost my head before. Don't get me wrong. And people have lost their head with me. That's okay. That's part of the sports business. You know, and I think what's really important in all of this is that we do have to maintain a balance. You have to take the bad with the good. You have to understand why you're winning as well as why you're losing. And it's important that in the game on Saturday that we turn it around quickly.
Is this kind of a back to the drawing board moment? I think this is the first time in back-to-back matches you went with the same starting 11 last night as you had against the Red Bulls. Do you have to rethink that again now? Are you thinking about some of the younger guys? I saw DeJuan Jones wasn't there, and he got just, you know, what looked like a very tiny look in terms of playing time, and he wasn't there. So are you going to stick with the starting 11, or is it kind of, well, now we got to try all over again based on what happened last night?
Well, having three games in 7 days, you're going to have to play some of the same players in back-to-back games. I thought with the effort from the Red Bull game, that it was a great opportunity to try to get some continuity in the team because for whether it's been form, whether it's been injuries, whether it's been a tweak in tactics on who we're playing, we've been changing quite often. And we do think that having continuity is the best way forward. We're just trying to find it. So we thought it was a good opportunity, and we found ourselves getting outworked by the opposition. So having eight games in 29 days, of course, there's going to be some squad rotation. Touching on the young players, they will get dipped in and out as they're developing in the game. And if we feel that they're ready to have a real consistent run of games, they'll get it. That doesn't matter what their age is. But please keep in mind that they're learning the game as well.
Next match coming up Saturday against Sporting KC. Coach, good luck. We'll talk next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Good luck,
Brad Friedel joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. We will hear from Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy on the series. He spoke earlier today and also spoke about music selections at TD Garden.
Yeah. Interesting. I thought there was a change. We talked about this.
By the way, just early request. Can I have Coach Friedel's initial hello for my takeaway today? Can I have that?
There's a whole lot from the first 30 seconds that we put it. We already put together. Tom put it together for takeaway.
I didn't want to ask a question after that. I looked around. Did you hear the pause?
Did I hear it? You could have driven a truck through the pause.
I almost laughed. It was so uncomfortable.
I've been down in that building.
Holy crap.
And the funny thing is, when he started talking, the phone rang. That's the internal line, that beep, beep. Which means I think he may have had some internal discussions prior to coming on with us.
Yeah.
Sometimes the things
are going to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline on Zolak and Bertrand. Welcome in the head coach of the New England Revolution. It's Brad Friedel with us. Hi, Coach.
Afternoon.
All right, you'll hear from the head coach of the Bruins. That is coming up after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.